out, and away we go.
Scott and Rick.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that.
Danny and Sunday have crashed. They've got into each other.
I wasn't listening. No idea what you're speaking about.
This is the F1 Podcast. Two soft compounds.
Hello there, I'm Scott Hughes.
I'm Rick Horton.
And we are the two soft compounds, and we've had a nice little summer break. Everybody's nice and relaxed. The drivers have all been away on their holidays. Seen lots of videos and pictures of drivers, you know, swimming and jet skiing and doing all the cool holiday stuff that rich people get to do. We have just sat in our house and our flat and got fatter, I think. Well, I have at least.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's no summer holidays for us. I haven't been out of the country for nearly 3 years. You know, it's just same old, but it's nice to be back on the podcast, and it's nice because it's felt like an absolute age since we've had any Formula One action. Nice to be back at the Belgian Grand Prix this weekend.
Yeah, and it's a triple header, so a start of a triple header. We've got Spa, we've got the new race at Zandvoort, and we've got Monza as well. But like you say, Spa is next. That is one of my favourite tracks. A lot of the drivers love this track as well. It's a proper kind of old school track, isn't it, with an old school layout and a real good kind of couple of corners and some really fascinating fast parts of this track.
Yeah, it's the longest on the calendar, and the thing that I love about this is that it can be raining on one half of the circuit and completely bone dry on the other. And I've had a look at the forecast. It says rain Sunday morning. Will that make it into Sunday afternoon? And will we have a disrupted race, which would be great? And of course, the battle's back on between Hamilton and Verstappen. Hamilton leading the Drivers' Championship with 195 points. Verstappen on 187, Lando in third, and Bottas in fourth. And you might have to say that Mercedes have got the upper hand going into this race because they've made gains, certainly in the British Grand Prix and in the Hungarian Grand Prix. But of course, we couldn't really measure it against anything because in both those races, Max Verstappen was flummoxed with a crash at Silverstone, which Lewis Hamilton was blamed for. And of course, a damaged car in Hungary, which meant he wasn't competitive. So hopefully they get round the first lap in Belgium without any incident and we get to see them racing head to head.
Yeah, I feel like the Red Bull is the very slightly better car package this year, but the Mercedes team, as always, have caught up. Hamilton is a world-class driver, as we well know. He's, you know, a multiple-time world champion, and he's an incredible driver. He shows exactly what he can do in that car, and I think, you know, the fact he shows Bottas up so much as he does every week just shows how good he is. So I'm very excited about part two of this season because I think you've got the young, up-and-coming, nothing-to-lose Max Verstappen versus the old guard of Hamilton, and Hamilton's trying to pull out all the tricks he can think of to kind of keep this as long as he can, you know, this championship going as long as he can. And then, of course, you've got Max Verstappen trying to play some head games and trying to outrace him, and you know, he really has got nothing to lose this year. I mean, it would be incredible to see Max Verstappen win a world title this year. What would be really fascinating, I think, is it's the last year before the rule changes and Mercedes have just dominated this entire era. So to see another car win on the final year, you know, does that tell you a lot about how Mercedes have moved on to next season's car too quickly? They're not developing this car enough. I mean, they keep saying, don't they, they're not going to develop it. They're not bringing more parts. And then all of a sudden, oh, we've got some new parts and oh, we're developing the car. And there is a lot of mind games in the media, I think, with Mercedes. They've done that traditionally. Toto's always saying, you know, oh, we're on the back foot and oh, da 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 da. And then you find out they're sandbagging and they're right up there. But it's great to see the Red Bulls, you know, they're right on it this year. And like I say, I think they slightly edge it in terms of car. And that's just brilliant to see.
Yeah, I'm getting a bit sick of Mercedes' bluff tactics, I must admit. But yeah, I think one thing that's happened this season, we saw it in the British Grand Prix, is that Hamilton has decided he's not going to be a pushover. So if you remember back in Imola when Max sort of barged him out of the way going into turn two because he wanted to take the lead of the race, I think Hamilton's now gone, you know what, I'm not having that anymore. I'm going to get my elbows out a little bit and become a little dirty, because we know Hamilton's not a dirty driver. He never has been. It's just sort of not in his driving style. But I think he's had to find it from somewhere this season because the challenge from Max has been so strong. And we saw it at Silverstone and we saw the competitive nature that he had in Hungary, even though he was at one point coming from the back of the field. He knew he had a faster car than Max because of the damage to Verstappen's car. So he just went for it, and it was great to see.
Yeah, and I think you could argue that's a sign of, you know, a world-class driver that is adapting his driving style. Like you say, he's never done anything dirty. There's never been an instant really where I've gone, oh, that was terrible driving from Hamilton. He shouldn't have done that. There's been a few iffy drives, but nothing where you think he's definitely done that on purpose. You know, if there is an off like Silverstone, I think it's a bit of, just, you know, just like you say, he's putting his elbows out. He's trying his best. It's the home track. There was a lot of things there that kind of caused that accident. I think it wasn't just Hamilton on his own. But yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, the young kid's come along and he's gone, right, this is how I drive. And he's been very bullish and, you know, cut him up a few times and all that kind of stuff. And Hamilton's gone, right, if I'm going to win this title, I need to drive the same he's driving and I need to kind of fight back. And it is fascinating as well, because the whole confidence thing in Formula One, and I'm talking driver and team, it's just massive, isn't it? You know, when Verstappen was winning all the races and Red Bull were winning all the races, the team was confident. The management were confident. The drivers were confident. The car looked great on the track. And they just get this unbelievable confidence about everybody involved, the team and the drivers. But then when they're struggling and Mercedes kind of fight back, you see the opposite, where they go into a bit of a kind of lull, don't they? And they're like, oh, here we go. Mercedes are fighting back. And you have a couple of crashes or DNFs or whatever, and it completely changes the dynamic of the season. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing now. I feel like the breaks was a good time, and I feel like they're all going to come back with a fresh head. And I think Max is going to, I can see him winning this race and kind of reasserting himself at the front and going, right, okay, this is my championship to lose this year. But of course, Hamilton's not going to just let that go past easy either.
No, it's definitely not. And let's talk about the driver lineups for next year, because it's normally at the Belgian Grand Prix that we get some inkling as to what's going to happen on the merry-go-round of drivers. Although Mercedes famously normally do it in the winter closed season, don't they? But we may get some announcements this weekend. Apparently, Mick Schumacher is going to be confirmed as a Haas driver for 2022. There was some talk that he might join Alfa Romeo, which is Ferrari's junior team. It looks as though that rumour sort of disappeared at the moment, but no one really knows. Is there a vacant seat next to Hamilton for next year? Bottas out of contract. The money is definitely heading towards George Russell replacing Bottas, but is that something Hamilton wants, as we've discussed many times this year? Does he want a young, feisty racer alongside him who could potentially show him up on occasion? I'm not sure if he does. I think he likes the status quo of having Bottas as his wingman, who always or nearly always complies with team orders and sort of gets on with it in a slower fashion than Hamilton. I'm not sure if he wants a young pup biting at his heels for 2022.
No, I completely agree. I think this is where Mercedes maybe need to pull rank if that is the case, because they kind of need to say to Hamilton, well, look, you're not going to be here forever. We also need to look at the future as well. I feel like Bottas has had enough of a chance in that car. He's never won the world championship like Nico Rosberg did. He's never beaten Hamilton like Nico Rosberg did. And I feel like, you know, how many chances does one person get? I feel like, you know, now is the time to try something new. And I think for Mercedes as a team going forward, it's an absolute no-brainer to put George Russell in that car. And I hope that Hamilton does see that. There's two ways to look at it. Hamilton's either doing exactly what you've just said and gone, no, I want to retire as Bottas, as my teammate. I want to win a few more world titles and then call it a day. I want to go out as a legend, da-da-da-da. Or he goes, well, what about if I put the young gun in the car and see just how good I am? And, you know, does he want to test himself at this point in his career? I suspect you're right. I suspect he doesn't. And I suspect he wants a nice, easy ride to another few titles. But, you know, next year, if you've got, you know, if Sergio Perez is as good as he's been this year and he's in the Red Bull next year, so you've got Sergio and you've got Max Verstappen in a brilliant Red Bull package next year versus George and Hamilton in that Mercedes next year. And again, a great package, hopefully. I mean, what a title battle that'll be. That's like a four-way battle for the title. And imagine next year if George Russell becomes Hamilton's teammate and in year one beats him and becomes world champion. I mean, that would be incredible to see, wouldn't it?
You know, there's so much to look forward to next year's racing. I mean, you think about the development of the cars. They've got this basic, all the cars look very, very similar, of course, but the designers and the engineers will look at ways of looping those rules as best they can to achieve the most downforce. And, of course, we've got the ground downforce, which is going to be reintroduced. It's been banned for so many years in Formula One, but that's coming back next year. So you look to people like Adrian Newey and you think, well, he's probably the most successful car designer in modern Formula One. So that makes me think the Red Bull will be strong. But, of course, Mercedes have just got so many resources and they've been throwing the kitchen sink at this project for next year for the last 2 or 3 years, because, of course, it was delayed by a year. So they, you would say that the Mercedes and Red Bull must be the favourites to develop that 2022 car, the best of the rest. And the others, you know, may be playing catch-up, but we just don't know. You know, you could end up with an Aston Martin winning every single race from the start of 2022. Very, very exciting. The rest of the driver lineups look pretty secure. Perez, though, not confirmed for next year. Will they make a change at Red Bull? Looks like Norris and Ricciardo are going to stun long-term deal at McLaren. Sainz and Leclerc have got at least another year together because of their contracts. Alonso's definitely staying with the Alpine team because he signed a two-year deal when he rejoined Formula One. And Vettel and Stroll looks as though they're all set for 2022. It would be alarming if Lance Stroll was dropped by his father from his team. So all eyes really on Williams' lineup. Where does Russell go? And there's some movement, I think, in the Alfa Romeos because it hasn't been confirmed whether Kimi Raikkonen's going to stay for another year.
Yeah, I saw a bizarre rumour as well. I can't remember who came up with this. But somebody said that they can see Lance Stroll in the Mercedes next year with Hamilton, which I thought, where's that come from? Like you say, you know, his dad owns the team. He's obviously going to be staying with Aston Martin. I mean, his dad wouldn't say no to him going to Mercedes, I'm guessing. But would he move to Mercedes? Like that, I saw it somewhere and I was like, that's a really weird curveball suggestion. To have Hamilton and Stroll in the Mercedes next year.
Well, the only thing I can think of is that, but this probably won't happen now because it looks as though they're in hot water over it, but Toto Wolff has got investment and shares in the Aston Martin team, hasn't he? And they're looking at insider dealing, apparently, with a court case that's about to hit the courts in Canada, I think it is. So if that was a possibility, I doubt if they're heading to court over an insider dealing deal, they're going to want to highlight that fact even more by moving Stroll to the Mercedes.
Yeah, very true. I do think it's going to be, you know, very much status quo next year. I'll be amazed if George isn't in that second Mercedes. I think Hamilton's obviously going to be in the Mercedes, and I can see most of the drivers staying. I think a very underrated lineup is the Ferrari lineup. I think Sainz, you know, is incredible. Leclerc is incredible. Two very young drivers. And I think Carlos Sainz has just got in that Ferrari and just driven the wheels off it this year. And he did the same in the McLaren last year. And I'm beginning to think that Carlos Sainz is a very, very underrated driver because stick him in any of these cars and he's up there with his teammate. He's doing a decent job.
Yeah, he got to form really quickly in the Ferrari, didn't he? He spent most of the winter in their factory, in their simulator, getting to grips with his engineers, getting to grips with a different car from the McLaren he'd driven previously, and he really hit the ground running. And if you look at other teams, you know, Fernando Alonso, I think, has done a great job in the Alpine. Said himself he was a bit rusty when he first got back in the car, but he put the hours in the simulator and he really wanted to concentrate on making the package overall complete. And I think we're starting to see the results of that. I mean, that battle he had in Hungary with Lewis Hamilton for fourth place was spectacular. It was like back to the Alonso of old. And he says he's driving the best of his entire career at the moment. And I think I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah, and I think this is what's frustrating about someone like Bottas is he's in the best car on the grid, or at least the equal best car in the grid. And he never really drives like that, does he? You never see that kind of, you know, the defending that Alonso was doing in a lesser car with Hamilton behind him. You don't see that from Bottas. And if Bottas was to do a bit of that driving, to show a bit of that overtaking skill, to show a bit of that defending, you know, he'd be a very, very good driver. But he seems to be a good qualifier, Bottas, but when it comes to the race, he's just a little bit behind the main pack, isn't he?
Yeah, I've always said that about Bottas' racecraft. He's very good over one lap, but he struggles to defend and he struggles to chase. You know, when we've seen him in races where you would presume someone like Hamilton would make places back up, Bottas just doesn't seem to be able to do it. His racecraft, I think, is rather quite poor. One of the poorest racecraft, I think, in the entire grid. And I would even include people like Mick Schumacher in that. I think Mick has a bit of a spark on him when he's trying to defend or trying to overtake. You just don't see that spark from Valtteri Bottas.
No, totally agree. Couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, like you say, the likes of Alonso, Hamilton, Verstappen, Perez, you know, Carlos Sainz, Leclerc, all brilliant at that. And Bottas is way below all of the above mentioned drivers there.
I think we will have a fairly short podcast this week because really there has been no news over the summer break. Often we hear more concrete rumours about driver changes. Nothing's been released officially. We might get some announcements when the teams arrive at Spa-Francorchamps tomorrow, which is Wednesday, and then the first round of press conferences on Thursday. We might find out more when they mix with the media there, but there's been very little movement this summer at all. It's been very, very low key. We do know that the Japanese Grand Prix sadly has been cancelled for the second year in a run because of their COVID situation. The Australian Grand Prix is cancelled too. They've added Turkey to the calendar, which is good because it's a brilliant circuit, but that one apparently is up for review because they've got problems getting out of Turkey onto the next flyaway races with logistics and things. And Formula One now are looking to add two new Grand Prix to the lineup to replace Australia and Japan. And we haven't really heard which circuits they may be, although I did hear that they are not traditional Formula One circuits. So we may be going somewhere new, which is exciting. And of course, later on in the year, we've got Saudi Arabia, who haven't released any details about their circuit yet. You'd have thought they'd have released a map of the track, but that hasn't even happened yet. Is it built? Will it be ready? It's all up in the air a little bit.
Yeah, it feels very much like the calm before the storm, doesn't it? Like we've been away on a break. Nothing's really happened for 3 or 4 weeks. And then we've got all these back-to-back races coming our way. So like you say, lots of news coming. It's a logistical nightmare, isn't it, for these guys to organise? You know, with the coronavirus situation changing from country to country, it's not just a case of picking these countries and going, right, we'll go from here to here to here to here. You know, they've got to go and go, okay, we've got a coronavirus problem in that country. We can't go there. We can't go from this country to that country, so we're going to have to go this way instead. And, you know, it's a logistical nightmare for him. So good luck to the team that are kind of sorting that out. But, yeah, hopefully we'll see some new tracks, and hopefully there'll be exciting tracks as well.
So, as you mentioned, three in a row, Belgium this weekend, then the Dutch Grand Prix, which is just going to be a sea of orange for Max Verstappen and his crazy fans. The week after that, it's the Italian Grand Prix, then a two-week break before Russia, the Turkish Grand Prix on October the 3rd, and then there's the gap because the Japanese Grand Prix cancelled from October 10th. They reckon they might do two Grand Prix in the United States, which wouldn't be a bad thing. I like the circuit for racing. Then we've got Mexico, Brazil, Saudi and Abu Dhabi, and they're hoping to slot one more race in there. Now, maybe Singapore might find itself back on the calendar. They announced they were cancelling at the start of the year because of their corona situation, but it looks as though things are getting a lot better there. Be nice to see another night race on the calendar before the end of this year, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, totally. I'm a big fan of night races. I'm a big fan of anything a little bit different in Formula One. When you see, you know, the floodlight races and you can see literally the whites of the driver's eyes as they're coming around the corners in slow motion, you know, it just gives you an extra element of the race and you can really see the concentration that goes into those guys when they're driving. But yeah, like you say, anything a little bit different. I love night races. Brilliant as far as I'm concerned. You know, I love these sprint races are a great idea. Something a little bit different. We've got another one of those coming up very soon. So yeah, exciting times.
Let's take Formula One to Three Sisters in Wigan.
Can you imagine? Probably get two cars on that track, won't we? And go, right, that's it, lads. Yeah, you only fit two.
Probably. You get a nice pie, though, in between practice and qualifying, that's for sure. Right, let's get some facts from Nicky as we head into the Belgian Grand Prix this weekend. He has all the stats, and here he is.
Formula One is back for part two of the 2021 season. Daniel Ricciardo is set to make his 200th race start, and it could be Groundhog Day for Lewis Hamilton. Here are the top statistics ahead of the 2021 Belgian Grand Prix. As F1 returns for the second half of the season, title rivals Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen will both be keen to get another win on the board. A win for Hamilton would be his 100th in F1, making him the first driver to reach a century of Grand Prix wins. Meanwhile, a win for Verstappen would be his 16th, seeing him equal Stirling Moss as the driver with the most wins without winning a title. Should Lewis Hamilton take victory in the Belgian Grand Prix, it will be the second time that he's won the event on the 29th of August. He won the 2010 Belgian Grand Prix, which was held on the same day. It would be the 22nd occasion that a driver has won the same race on the same day more than once. Meanwhile, a top three finish for Hamilton would see him become the first driver to record 10 podiums at the Spa circuit. It would eclipse Michael Schumacher's current record of 9 top three results in Belgium. Daniel Ricciardo makes his 200th Grand Prix start this weekend. Since his first appearance at the 2011 British Grand Prix, Ricciardo has not missed a single race. That makes him only the third driver to have started 200 consecutive Grand Prix. The only other drivers to have done so are Nico Rosberg between the 2006 Bahrain Grand Prix and the 2016 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, and Lewis Hamilton between the 2007 Australian Grand Prix and the 2020 Bahrain Grand Prix. This weekend will mark Kimi Raikkonen's 17th entry to a round of the World Championship at Spa-Francorchamps. That equals Rubens Barrichello's record of 17 appearances at the venue. If he makes the start on Sunday, Raikkonen will equal Barrichello and Michael Schumacher's record tally of 16 starts at Spa, and if the Finn completes 11 laps of the race, he'll overtake Schumacher as the driver to have raced the most laps at the circuit. And finally, this will be the 7th F1 race held on the 29th of August. Only McLaren and Williams have won previous races held on this day, with McLaren winning all of the last three races, including the most recent, the 2010 Belgian Grand Prix. None of the previous six races on this day have been won from pole position, and all but two were won from second on the grid. Despite their low win rate, the pole sitter has failed to finish on the podium only twice on the 29th of August, and wins on this day so far have been shared between only British and Finnish drivers.
Nice one, Nicky. You can follow him, of course, across the race weekends, as always, at Lights Out, is where you can find him on Twitter for some brilliant stats and facts. I've just literally read here that F1 is going to be introducing an overtaking award for the 2021 season. So that's obviously trying to encourage more overtaking with the drivers. But it'd be interesting, actually, who wins that, because it's not easy to overtake in Formula One these days, is it?
Well, I'm just hoping that we get a clean start to the Belgian Grand Prix. I love the drama of Formula One, and we all like a sort of first lap crash, don't we? Because it makes it exciting. But it would be nice to see Hamilton and Verstappen fighting it out fairly for the entire race. And that'll give us an idea of which car's on top and which driver's on form. We've seen many Turn 1 crashes at the Spa-Francorchamps circuit. So let's hope that doesn't happen. Or if it does, it's further down the field and we get an exciting race up front. My predictions for this weekend? Well, I think Lewis Hamilton has got to be the favourite for pole and for the race. I would favour him above Max, I have to say. I don't know why, I just have a feeling Mercedes have got the slight edge going into this weekend. Max almost certainly on the podium, unless he gets tripped over by another driver. Bottas not on the podium, I'm predicting. And I think maybe it's about time Lando Norris got back up on the third step of the podium for this weekend.
Yeah, see, I'm leaning the other way. I think Max is going to get pole. Max is going to win the race. Hamilton's second, and I'm going to say Sergio Perez for third. But I think the Red Bulls are going to be on it this weekend. And either way, it's going to be a great weekend. And it'd be nice to see how they all perform after the little summer break.
Yeah, I think Perez is due a bit of luck, isn't he, really? Because he got taken out in Hungary and he hasn't had the best of luck. His qualifying pace definitely needs to improve, and hopefully he can remedy that this weekend. It's a bank holiday weekend as well, so hopefully you're off on Monday and you can enjoy the race Sunday afternoon with a couple of beers with your mates or your family. And we'll be back next week to review the Belgian Grand Prix and preview our first visit to Holland for the Zandvoort Grand Prix, which is going to be exciting, especially if you're a fan of Max Verstappen. Enjoy!
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds. Two Soft Compounds is a talk about media production. All opinions are our own.